Acts chapter 8, we're going to read one verse together, reading from the King James Bible. Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 21. Acts chapter 8, verse 21. When you find that, let's all stand and read together. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. I'm going to ask you this morning, is your heart right with God? Is your heart right with God? Are you right with God? Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Please bless this simple sermon this morning. I don't think it'll be very long. Help us not to be distracted or be a distraction. Help us to pay attention. Bless, we ask you, dear Holy Spirit of God, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In Acts number 8, starting in verse number 8, we have the story of Simon the sorcerer who gets saved. And because of his background and his upbringing and his powerful position that he had before he got saved, and the influence that he was before he got saved, he brought that into his new life in Jesus Christ. In Acts number 8, verse number 8, the Bible says there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. This is before he got saved. They believed that he had the great power of God on him. You know, like these movie harlots and whores and celebrities, they think they got all this power of God, and that's what people look to them, like they got all the power. And verse number 11, and to him they had regard because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon, this is the same sorcerer who just got saved, who believed on the Lord Jesus. When Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. That's what he was used to his entire life. He was bewitching people and fooling people, and he had the power and control over people, and he always used money to control people. He said, man, I'll give you this money if I can have that kind of power. If you can give me that kind of power, I'll give you all the money I can give you. Verse 19 saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee. Yeah, your money's not going to go with you when you die. It's going to perish. It's going to rot and burn. You ain't taking no money with you when you go to heaven or when you go to hell. All the money you're working for, all the money you're collecting, that house, that car, that retirement, all the benefits, it's going to perish, ladies and gentlemen. Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. And here's what he says. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. In 2 Kings chapter number 10, if you were to read the story of verses 10 to 17, Ahab is running rampant, setting idols up in Israel, all through Israel, and God demands a death penalty for idol worship. And there's a battle going on. And Jehu is picked out of God by God as a crazy man, as a nationalist, As a person who says, I'm going to take care of the things of God that need to be cleaned up because all the elite are too afraid to do something about it. And Jehu is not right with God. If you read the history about Jehu and his character, he's not always right with God. And there's nowhere in the Bible that says he was right with God. But he did some things that were right for God. And he cleaned up the house. So he's on his way to take care of Ahab because everybody else is afraid of Ahab and Jezebel. Remember the man of God, Elijah, ran from Jezebel? Think about that. The man of God who called down fire from heaven ran from Jezebel. Now Elijah's taken up to heaven in a chariot. And God picks out Jehu to take care of the house of Ahab. And vengeance of God Almighty is coming on the house of Ahab. And he's picked Jehu to do it. When you have time, you go back and read 2 Kings chapter number 10, verses 10 to 17. And as Jehu's going on his way, his merry way to kill Ahab and his horde of rebellers and revolters against God, Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, crosses his path. Now Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, he's the founder of the Rechabites. He was a strange man in the sense that he went further for God than everybody else did in Israel at that time. As a matter of fact, if you read Jeremiah there, you'll find out that the Rechabites were the only ones that refused to drink wine in God's house. And God blessed the Rechabites for all of the rest of their lives and their children's lives and their grandchildren's lives because they were so strict and so narrow-minded and so old-fashioned, they refused to drink wine when it was offered to them in the house of God. They said, "We ain't drinking it." And they were sort of the castaways. They were the sort of the people, that's like the scum of the earth. They were the people that people laughed at, just like fundamentalists are mocked and hated today, by the way. They're criticized today. So Jehu crosses paths with Jehonadab. And Jehu asks Jehonadab a very interesting question. He asked him in 2 Kings chapter number 10, "Is thine heart right? As my heart is with thy heart." That's all Jehu was concerned about. Is your heart right the way my heart is with your heart? Because Jehu knew about this guy. And he knew this guy hated the idolatry going on in Israel. And if he hated that guy, and if he hated the idolatry going on in Israel, he knew that he was against Ahab. And the first question Jehu asks is your heart right? And the answer comes back satisfactory to Jehu. It is. He takes him by the hand, brings him up into his chariot, and they both go on to decimate and destroy the house of Ahab per God's orders. And by the way, the hand of Almighty God, the judging hand of Almighty God is coming your way. Is your heart right with God? Are you going to be on Jehu's side, Jehonadab's side, or are you going to be on Ahab's side when the judging hand of God Almighty comes down? I ask you the question. I'm not asking if you're in church or you're a member, how much you're giving or how much you're doing. I'm asking you the question, is your heart right this morning? I don't care who you are. I don't care what your last name is. I don't care how much you've given. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what you've done. This morning, is your heart right with God? That's the answer. That's the question that God asks right now. That's a question that too many people refuse to answer. Ezekiel 14:3 says, "These men have set up their idols in their heart." Yeah, buddy. In Luke chapter 1, verse number 6, the Bible says that Zacharias and Elizabeth were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless, and that was they were the parents of John the Baptist. I'm not asking if you have sinned this week, because all of us have sinned. I'm not asking you if you disobeyed God this week, because all of us have disobeyed God this week. I'm not asking if you had any impure thoughts this week, because all of us have had impure thoughts this week. Don't be so hypocritical because you're in church this morning, okay? Don't look so pious because you're in a Baptist church this morning. We're all a bunch of sinners needing the mercy of God Almighty, the grace of God. But the question is this morning, is your heart right with God? That's the question this morning. That's what we're going to talk about this morning, is your heart right with God? In 2 Chronicles 25, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says that Amaziah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. You can come to church and not be right with God. Jeremy, you can give money in the offering basket, the offering plate this morning, and not be right with God. Are you paying attention to me? And your heart not be right with God. You can dress the part, act the part, talk the part, and your heart not be right with God. I'm asking you a question. Is your heart right this morning? My Bible says in Psalm 78, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. God doesn't ask you much. God does not ask much from people. You know what he says? Get saved, get baptized, and keep your heart right. That's the bottom line. You know what he says in Proverbs? Give me thine heart. That's all he asks. He said, Pastor, you're too strict, you're too old-fashioned. You know why? Because your heart's not right with God. If you read the Word of God, things in the Word of God are not that difficult if your heart's right with God. If your heart's not right with God, then everything's going to be difficult. Everything's going to be a burden. Everything's going to be a stumbling block. Everything's going to be, you're going to come up with excuse after excuse after excuse when your heart is not right with God. Said, Pastor, are you talking to me this morning? I am talking to you. That's right. I am talking to myself this morning. I'm talking to every single person in this room and anybody who's listening to me. Are you picking on me? Yeah, I'm picking on you this morning. Is your heart right with God? My Bible says in Psalm 34, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save as such as be of a contrite spirit. What happened to the broken heart when you got saved? What happened to the contrite spirit where you got saved? My Bible says in Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifice of God or a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, oh God, thou wilt not despise. Hey, what happened to the contrite spirit that you had when you got saved? What happened to the broken heart you got when you got saved? Hey, too much money came in, didn't it? The promotion came in, didn't it? The new car, the new house. The new husband, new wife, children. Huh? The pressures of life came in, didn't they? What happened to a broken heart? What happened to a broken spirit? What happened to a contrite spirit? Because that's where God dwells. That's what he said in Isaiah chapter number 57. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Before God created the heaven and the earth, God enjoyed the fellowship of himself, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. For all eternity past, before creation, when there was no time, when there was no creation, God himself had fellowship with himself, the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They were inseparable. They were together. No such a thing as time back then. And mortal man will never be able to comprehend a time when there was no such thing as time. And mortal man will never be able to comprehend a future time when there will be no time. It'll be eternity again like it was before creation. Timeless eons and eons past. Unmeasurable what man calls time. Past. Then God created the heaven and the earth. Then God created man. And God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. From that time until now, from Adam to us, God has chosen to make man a place where he can dwell in. God did not make robots. God made mankind. Not humankind, mankind. God made people. God has given each of us the choice to love him freely. He wants us to. He desires us to. He asks us to. In fact, it's a commandment to love God. When we do not love God, we are disobeying God. And by disobeying the word of God, it shows that we do not love God. Thus, our heart is not right with God. I want to be right with God. Not popular. Famous, rich, or powerful. I want to be right with God. I want God to look down on this sin-stricken city of Troy, New York, and I want God to say there are a group of people who go to an old-fashioned church that are ridiculed and mocked, but they refuse to bow their knee to the devil and to the world. I want to be right with God. I want my heart to be right with God. I do not want anything between me and my God. I want God and others to know that I love this King James Bible, the Word of God, and I want to do my very best to obey everything in this book because it is the very Word of God, the breath of God, the voice of God, the will of God. Heartaches and burdens come into people's lives, sins and problems. The world, the devil will do anything and everything to make sure your heart is not right with God. Those heartaches and those burdens, those cares, those worries, those troubles, those pressures like the waves of a troubled sea, just like Peter, will get your eyes off of Jesus and you'll put them on your problems and your burdens and all the necessary, what you think are necessary things of life. Okay. Take your eyes off of Jesus and put them on the things of life. So things in your life have not turned out the way you wish they were, or wanted them to, or planned. I understand exactly how you feel. I'm asking the question, though, is your heart right with God? If you died right now, is your heart right with God? If you're to take your last breath right now, if you're to close your eyes for the last time, not next week, not next month, not next year, right now, is there anything in the Word of God that is troubling you that you know you should obey and you have refused to obey it? Whether it's getting saved from hell, whether it's getting baptized in a Baptist church, whether it's becoming a member of a church or going soul winning or praying or Bible reading, or the way you dress or the way you talk or the way you think, your motives, your intentions, your life, your actions. If you died right now, is your heart right with God? You're going to meet God the second you die. Liars and the heathen and pagans and rebels, disobedient, backslidden, the drinkers of their wine and strong drink, the beer, the booze, the alcohol, the champagne, the dancing the night away with the rock and roll and disco and hard metal, the African beat of the Caribbean savages, the primitive pagan and heathen dances and voodoo and sorcery. Yeah. Is your heart right now? Are you mad at the preacher? Are you angry at the preacher for preaching the truth? Or is your heart breaking inside? Is your heart right with God right now? The question we need to ask ourselves is, am I right with God? Is my heart right with God? You are only right with God when you know there is nothing you are doing that is contrary to the Word of God. Are there any Bible verses from the King James Bible that trouble you this morning? That cause you to feel conviction over a sin or rebellion or disobedience to the very Word of God? The world and the enemy have people so focused on things rather than God that people forget to keep their heart right with God. God's blessed you with a house and car and job and money. And along comes bills and finances with it. You get laid off, you get unemployed, you move. You have health problems, you're sick, you go to doctors, hospitals, surgeries, then the medical bills and medical appointments and Medicare, Medicaid, marriage, children, parents, siblings, family, relatives, friends, and neighbors. You are busy with church and the ministry, you're helping out, building maintenance, fixing things, your position, volunteering, helping in the nursery, greeting visitors, the bulletins, the offerings, an usher, the baptistry, the audio, the video recording, giving and singing, preparing, cleaning before and cleaning after, the church dinners, setting up and breaking down, cooking and serving and cleaning, the church bus, the church van, the Victorian stroll, street preaching. But is your heart right with God this morning? I'm not asking you what you're doing. I'm not asking you what you've done. This morning, is your heart right with God? If you drop dead right now, is your heart ready to meet God? People are sad and depressed and discouraged because they're not right with God. Their heart is not right with God. So they fill that empty void in their heart, that chasm that's filled with sports and music, concerts and singers and Hollywood shows and Broadway shows and cinemas and symphonies and whores and the hellions of Hollywood and Hollywood. They fill that void with gambling and addictions and drugs and pornography and fornication and adultery, with lying and cheating and stealing and alcohol and their wine, their booze, their strong drink, their liquor, their champagne, their social drinks, their cocktails. Then we have religious people that compare themselves with others. I'm not that bad. Look at them. Look at her. Look at him. I'm not that bad. And God says, when you compare yourselves with each other, you're not wise, the Apostle Paul wrote. We compare ourselves to others instead of comparing ourselves to Jesus. Too many people are concerned about their religious works and not their heart being right with God. Too many people are consumed with politics and the election. And I'm concerned too. But I'm telling you, if the Witch of the West had won 2 years ago, my heart was still right with God, ladies and gentlemen. If things don't turn out the way I want them this Tuesday and the Democrats win, my heart can still be right with God. Your whole world's messed up if your favorite politician doesn't win. If your candidate doesn't win. The person, your life is messed up because you don't like who's in the White House or the governor's mansion or who's in the city hall mayor's seat. That's all you think about all day, all week, all long. You're so distraught because your heart's not right with God. If your heart was right with God, you'd be able to smile and sing and laugh and enjoy God, ladies and gentlemen. But it shows on your face that your heart's not right with God because you're miserable. This is what you call preaching. This is what you call old-fashioned hellfire and damnation Baptist preaching. This is the kind of preaching that used to convict hearts. This is why the pews are emptying and they're all going to the big box, jumping up and down, jack in the box, where they got the music pumping in and the music and the sounds and the lights pulsating like it is on a rock and roll dance floor, because that's the world coming into God's houses. But that is not right with God, and I can guarantee you their heart's not right with God. Is your heart right with God? I don't care how you're dressed this morning. Is your heart right with God? I don't care if you can fill out a tithing envelope. Is your heart right with God? I don't care what kind of words come out of your mouth. Is your heart right with God? The only way you know that your heart is right with God is if the Word of God does not contradict anything that you're doing or saying. I want to do right. I want to live right. I want to die right. I want to do right. I want to live right. And I want to die right. And I want my heart to be right when I die. That's all that matters in the long run. Is your heart right with God right now? If your worst enemy or critic shows you something in the Bible, are you offended or angry or upset about it? Is your heart rebellious towards the things of God and the people of God and the house of God? What is your attitude towards God? What's your attitude towards the Word of God? Do you forgive others? Do you reconcile with others? Are you bitter? Are you jealous and envious of others? Are you greedy? Are you covetous? Are you selfish and self-centered? Are you more concerned about how many people like you and like your posts, or are you concerned with your heart being right with God? Are you more concerned about how many people follow you or whether your heart is right with God? Is your heart tender for every single word of the King James Bible? You know that things are not right in your heart if your heart is not right with God. You know it. God knows it. When your conscience bothers you about something, you know you're not right with God. Just read 1 John 5:2-3. You know what? Take your Bible, turn to 1 John 5. We're going to read it. 1 John chapter number 5. These people go around disobeying the very Word of God, jumping up and down, sweating, and then claiming, oh, I love Jesus. Hey, you don't love Jesus when it's contrary to the Word of God. Mark her down. You don't love God when it's contrary to His own Word. 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 2, by this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep His commandments, is your heart right with God this morning? I ask a question. Is your heart right with God this morning? This is how we know we love God and the children of God. This is how we know we love God and the children of God. When we love God and keep His commandments. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not that difficult when your heart's right with God. When your heart's not right with God, You're going to find excuses why you can't obey the very clear commands of the Word of God. If someone is misusing their authority over you, being right with God is the only thing that will allow you to trust God, knowing everything will be dealt with justly at the judgment seat of Christ. Too many pastors like Eli in the Old Testament who are warned of God over and over again. Too many Elis who are pastoring God's people who have rejected the King James Bible, using some other perversion of the Word of God. Too many pastor Elis who can smile really good, use smooth-talking words and deceive the rebellious and disobedient children of God away from God, who do not teach and preach against alcohol, who do not teach and preach against immodest clothing on women, who do not teach and preach against their hypocritical followers who enjoy having a hired Eli who loves his money and his crowd more than he loves God and the Word of God. Too many pastor Elis who know how to stay away from Bible truths because they know it will diminish their following on Facebook and Twitter and in the pews. The world today hates God. Our society today hates God. How do you know, preacher? Because they hate the Word of God. These so-called pastors, these so-called ministers, hate the living words of the King James Bible. That's why they refuse to use it. You cannot use a perversion and read it and study it and then claim you love God and then say you're right with God. We have too many believers complaining about the wicked traitors of the NFL who bow their knees during the national anthem. Where are those same believers when their leaders and pastors and ministers use an English perversion of the Word of God instead of the King James Bible? We have too many believers complaining about how the left is ruining and misinterpreting the U.S. Constitution that was penned in 1789. Where are those same believers when they themselves have perverted the very words of God and have gotten rid of their King James Bibles because they believe the lies and the treachery of their pastors and their ministers? We have too many believers complaining about how wicked and evil this generation of Americans are. Yet those same believers refuse to obey the very words of the King James Bible. They have discarded the words of God to suit their sin and suit their rebellion. Is your heart right with God this morning? Too many husbands like Nabal, who was so churlish that no one could talk to him about something he was doing wrong. As the scriptures plainly state that no man could talk to Nabal. He would get angry and upset if his wife or any of his servants tried reasoning with him. Read the story. He railed on David's servants to the point where David sent men to kill him. But Abigail, despite being trapped in a marriage with no divorce courts, no police intervention, being abused and misused by her God-hating rebel of a man, trusted God. And when your rebelling husband like Elimelech takes you away from the God like he did with Naomi, away from God, away from the people of God, away from the things of God, and then you bury both your boys in a foreign land of Moab, no, Naomi was full when her husband forced her to leave the people of God. She came back empty after God killed her husband. And too many husbands and men are like Elimelech, who do not care about their wives because they can control her and rule her now. You know how many women like Naomi have been taken away from their own family that they love and miss because some Elimelech was too selfish and too miserable and too depressed and too rebellious against God? You know how many women feel lonely and isolated because they're married to a man who's a jerk, who has a temper, a short fuse, one who gets easily angered by anything and everything that's disagreeable with them? Do you know how many women go to sleep every night weeping with a broken heart because they're in a relationship that is straight out of hell? Do you know how many women have to put up with an abusive and spineless coward of a husband who beats on the weaker vessel because he's stronger than she is? Do you know how many women are being taken advantage of by selfish and controlling husbands only because they can now? Well, can you imagine Naomi being taken away from her family in a foreign land? No house of God, no people of God, no fellowship. All because of Elimelech's love of money. Too many wives like Job's wife who wanted Job to curse God and die. Do you know how many women curse their husbands? Do you know how many women have contempt for their husbands? It was okay when he was the breadwinner and he was working hard and paying the bills and giving her a nice life. But as soon as a husband gets sick, becomes handicapped, gets old, is not physically able to provide and do the things he used to do, the wife ships her husband off to a nursing home for someone else to feed him, someone else to change him, someone else to care for him. Too often, people that do not love and care for him are usually there, only doing it because they're getting paid money, the love of money. It was okay when the husband took care of his wife when she was sick or lonely or depressed or struggling. But as soon as the gravy train ends, as soon as the money stops flowing in, as soon as the earliest signs of financial difficulty appear on the horizon, Job's wife is looking to discard Job. She's looking at his life. Then she's looking at his life insurance policy. She's contemplating how much she would rather have the money instead of a sick and disabled and useless Job. Too many treacherous women have left their husbands for younger and healthier men who had some money or had some youth. You just wait until the judgment seat of Christ, fellas. You trust God. You just stay right with God. Keep your heart right with God. Too many women like Jezebel who influenced Ahab against God, against the people of God, and against the house of God. Too many women who paint their faces and paint their fingernails and paint their toenails. Contrary to the word of God, the most wicked, evil woman in the Bible, Jezebel, was the only one in the Bible who painted her face. But most of God's women are painting their faces today. Men have become like women. They want to paint their bodies and put tattoos all over their bodies, contrary to what God says. They want to paint themselves. They don't care because their heart is not right with God. These Jezebels have ruined this nation more than anyone and anything else. These Jezebels sit on the Supreme Court, sit as judge behind their benches. These Jezebels who preach and teach in churches, on television, radio, contrary to the very word of God. Is your heart right with God this morning? Or are you upset what the preacher's saying this morning? Too many children like Absalom, who hated his godly father and mother, chase his father off the throne. Too many rebels who have lived in a godly home when David the king was their father who provided everything to his children. Too many ungrateful children have turned out to be rebels because they listened and followed the advice of other rebels and hypocrites. Too many Absaloms have split families because they wanted the power of controlling people instead of loving the word of God and loving people. Too many Absaloms persuaded others to rebel against their own parents. Too many Absaloms have fought against their own parents. Too many Absaloms have cursed their parents. Absaloms who smoke their weed and snort their cocaine and shoot their heroin and pop their pills and drink their booze, listen to their country music, enjoy the rebellion until they're much too early death, the same way Absalom met God, not being right with God, hanging from the tree by his long hair, shot by darts in the same heart that was not right with God. Hey, young man. Young daughter, you want to rebel against your godly father, against your godly mother who loves you? God's going to see to it that those fiery darts of the wicked one are going to pierce your heart like they did to Absalom because your heart is not right with God. Is your heart right with God this morning? The sign outside says Baptist, doesn't it? It still says Baptist, doesn't it? Did someone change the sign? Too many parents like Lot. A saved hypocrite and a saved rebel who led his family away from God into Sodom and Gomorrah. If you look at the original Hebrew, it says Albany, New York. These parents who let their children watch these Hollywood movies and videos in their own home, then wonder why their children, their young children, teenagers, are so worldly and ungodly and wicked. These parents who lead their children to go into sports and play sports when it's church time. These parents take their children to Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts where child molesters await them when it's church time. These parents who take their children to parties and picnics and camping, to the beach and mountains and movies when it's church time. These parents who let their children listen to ungodly, wicked music. Parents who let their children go online without being monitored or supervised. Parents who refuse to correct their children, spare the rod, and spoil their brats. These parents are afraid of their children instead of the children being terrorized by their parents the way it used to be and the way it should be. These parents who are more childish than their own children. These parents who care more about their toys and their hobbies than being home with their own children. Is your heart right with God this morning? Too many cousins like Korah who rebelled against Moses' authority because he thought Moses was taking too much on him as the man of God. Too many a relative has rebelled against the authority of the man of God because rebels do not like being told by God or a man of God what they need to do. Too many relatives like Korah gather a crowd against the preacher and whisper against the man of God so they can vote him out. Too many relatives today think they know more about the God of the Bible that they hate instead of their loving pastor who loves them. Too many hypocrites hate their pastor and have disdain and contempt for the one who's trying to lovingly warn them against the enemy and the deceitfulness of sin. Too many relatives have gossiped and lied and talked too many of their own blood out of good churches and out of God's houses because their heart is not right with God. Too many neighbors like Tobiah who fought with Nehemiah building the wall. By the way, we need a wall. Everyone is fighting against the wall like Tobiah and Sanballat. Enemy is secret, by the way. That's what Sanballat means, the enemy is secret. When they came trying to talk to the people of God, the men of God, the leaders of God, trying to build the wall in Nehemiah chapter number 2, their answer was, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. You know what I've learned in 31 years of pastoring a church, almost 32 years now? People come and people go. Sometimes their heart's right with God, and sometimes their heart's not right with God. It don't matter who it is. When others hypocritically attack you and hate you because you dare to believe and obey God's word, the best comfort I can give you is that you will be glad at the judgment seat of Christ that you kept your heart right with God and trusted God through it all. That is very well pleasing in God's eyes. The fact that you did not quit, that you never gave up, that you never stopped praying, you never stopped singing, you never stopped smiling, you never kept your eyes off of Jesus, your Savior. When others use you for their personal gain, for their personal satisfaction, contrary to the word of God, you will be glad at the judgment seat of Christ. You will shout for glory when you'll be given a crown for faithfulness because you loved God when you were persecuted. You loved God when you were mocked and hated. You loved God when you were being used by others who had authority over you for their own selfish purposes. When you get to reign with Jesus Christ for all eternity, over those who hated you and misused you and abused their authority over you, who will serve you for all eternity. You'll be glad that your heart was right now. When all these wicked government officials and all these evil judges who hated God and hated the King James Bible purposely try to make your life difficult because they had power over you on this earth, I tell you, your heart can still be right with God in the midst of trials and heartaches. For all eternity, you and everyone else is going to know that you were right with God when you died. Whatever it is that is keeping you from being right with God today and your heart right with God, it is not worth it. Make sure your heart is right with God today. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. The sacrifice of God, or a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. As we finish Acts chapter 8, Peter, the man of God, said to Simon, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. Hey, what's your answer today? You want to keep your cold stone heart and be bitter? Selfish, full of yourself, your pride, your ego? Are you willing to repent and say, God, please forgive me? I want my heart to be right today. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, too often, we're good at masquerading, putting on a facade. We've got the language down pat. Some of us got the dress standards down pat. We come, we give, sometimes we sing, sometimes we're happy. We mingle, greet, laugh. But I wonder, through all the facade, if our heart is right with thee. We know that folks in religious circles that don't use a King James Bible, we know they're not right. We already know that from the Word of God. But we're too consumed sometimes and concerned about what other people are doing instead of whether our heart is right with thee this morning. We're too consumed and too concerned about other folks and what other folks are doing or what they've done instead of whether our heart is right with thee this morning. Dear God in heaven, please, I beg of you this morning, speak to our hearts. If there's anybody in this room that's not saved, may they get saved this morning. If there's anybody in this room that's saved but they've not been baptized in a Baptist church, may they come and get baptized this morning. Whatever the need is, dear God, please, would you meet that need this morning? In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.